Welcome to our last week of favorites. I'm really excited to be with you today, and we're glad that you're joining us from wherever you are. Today, I want to tell you a bit of a story before I get into my favorite scripture. The year was 1997, and I was living in Hawaii. It's probably the closest I've ever been to heaven. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. But some friends and I had taken a trip down to a place called South Point. It's the southernmost tip of the United States. And at this particular place, there were these huge cliffs. And when I say huge, they were probably 40 feet, you know, maybe somewhere between 12 and 15 meters high. And people would jump off these cliffs into the water, and then they would climb up this little ladder to the top, and they would do it again. And it was about an hour away from where we were living at the time, and I was loudly proclaiming the entire trip down about how I was going to jump off the cliffs into the water when we got there. And we rolled up, and my friends and I jumped out and got our gear out, and I walked to the edge of the cliff, and I remembered that I have an acute fear of heights. And I was paralyzed. And for about 30 minutes, I just kind of stared at how high these cliffs were and watched my friends jump in and enjoy the water, and my mind began working overtime, right? Like, I began to really pump the brakes and see all the things that could go wrong. Maybe I would mistime my jump and the swell would come up and I would be battered against the rocks. And all the while, my friends are jumping in and having a great time. And my fear just kind of paralyzed me for a long time. And then, maybe 30 or 40 minutes into it, I climbed down to about, 10 feet or, 3 or 4 meters high and jumped in. Not nearly the height of what everyone else was jumping in. And we had a great time and we were packing up and getting ready to leave. And I noticed that my friend Jessica was sitting on the edge of the cliff. And she'd been just staring down the entire time. She hadn't worked up the courage to jump in. She hadn't decided that she was going to do like I did and climb to a safer spot and jump in. She just kind of looked and looked and looked. And finally, as I'm getting ready to like honk the horn on the car to say we're leaving, she jumped in and just had the biggest smile on her face as she climbed up out and jumped in the car and we took off. And immediately as I'm driving away from South Point, I had this deep sense of regret that I had let fear kind of win the day and not jump into the water. And I know what you're thinking, right? Some fear is good, right? And you're right. Some fear helps us not do stupid things at stupid times. There's a rational fear that kind of helps us in that process. But you know what? I think there's something more than just irrational and rational fear. There's these things that are kind of hardwired into us that even when all of the safety boxes are ticked and all of the things have been done to ensure an amazing outcome, we still hold back because of fear. It's almost as if it's hardwired into us. And for me, it's something I've been dealing with my entire life, and you've probably heard me talk about it a little bit, but it's this idea of wanting to be liked, wanting to look good. And that's what brings me to my favorite verse. It's from Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 25. And if you've heard me say it once, you've probably heard me say it 100 times. And it says, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." For me, a primary fear is really caring what people think, and it may not be your fear, right? But I think it's a pretty common one. For others, it might be being afraid of loss or failure, rejection, or the unknown. I like how Eugene Peterson says this same verse in Proverbs in The Message. He says, "The fear of human opinion disables, but trusting in God protects us from that." A couple weeks ago, Stephen was sharing with us about his favorite verse, which came from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and it talked about trusting in the Lord. And he said something in that message that really resonated with me. He said, "The areas that we fear the most are the areas that we trust God the least." And I think that's true. But I'd also add to this, I'd add this to that, that the areas that we fear the most They reveal what we care about and what we value the most. Think about that for a second. The area that you fear the most reveals what you value the most. And also the area that you fear the most, maybe we trust God the least. Fear is real-time feedback that inhibits our movement, right? Fear is designed to restrain us. It's designed to hold us back. But in certain situations, it paralyzes us. Have you ever heard the statement, like, frozen like a deer in headlights? Right? We see the light coming, but we're paralyzed so that we can't get out of the way. It's an information overload. And in that information overload, we're somehow suppressed from action. This is where trusting in God becomes, like Stephen said, something that we exercise, a muscle that we use again and again and again. Maybe we should just ask ourselves the question, really, what aren't we trusting God with in this season? What are the things we value that we're afraid of losing? Or what are the things that we value that we're afraid of not getting? This is where my second favorite verse kind of comes into play. The first verse from Proverbs 29:25 leads me to this verse from 1 John 4:18. And it simply is read like this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. What an amazing verse, right? This is where we're found, right? This is where we're known. This is where we begin this journey, right, of trusting God. It starts by being loved by God. Let's look at those four words together. Perfect, love, casts, and fear. So we can have a better understanding of what's happening in this verse. The first word is perfect. And this word means mature. It means full, completeness, whole, right? It's describing the nature of God, but it's also putting us into understanding the next word, which is love. And that word is agape, right? I think we've all maybe heard this word before, the agape love of God, right? Unconditional. A love that embraces the truth, a love that never fails, right? It's a love that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He gives us all of these descriptors about what love is and what love isn't, what love does and what love doesn't do. And this is that unconditional, right, love of God. God's perfect. He's whole and he's complete. And he's giving us his love, his unconditional truth about who he is and about who we are. The next word is casts, right? And this is a great word. Lots of different translations describe it differently, like casts or drives out or expels. And really the Greek word here, it gives the impression of thrusting out or throwing away, right? With a passionate or even a violent tendency to throw it away so that you don't even care where it ends up, right? And so this is what love's doing. Love, in its perfect nature of God, throws away fear so that it doesn't even care where it ends up because it's away from us, right? That this perfect love casts out fear, this suppression or this inaction, this thing that would hold us back. God's perfect love allows us to move forward unencumbered, right, by the fears that would so easily hold us back, allowing us to become the full human that he created and designed us to be, known by him, no longer frozen, right, in that slavery of fear, but free to live life to the fullest. Perfect love casts out fear. It expels fear. It drives it out. It throws it away. And for years I lived, right, with the regret of not jumping off that cliff, right? Again, it's a simple thing. It's just a moment, right? But I had some deep regret about that. Not because it was dangerous, or because I wanted to back up all of my immature kind of machismo in the car, bragging about how I would jump South Point's cliffs. It was because I want to live a full life. I want to be who God designed me to be. I want to be courageous, right? And that's kind of the thing that overcomes this fear, that when I'm known by the perfect love of God, I am courageous. I think that when we face our fears, when we know that the Egyptian army, maybe like in the Old Testament, is behind us, but in front of us is the Red Sea, and I feel like I've got the army behind me, but I'm trapped and I'm in front of me. What did God say to the Israelites? He said, march into the water, right? Go into the thing that you're afraid of. And for me, courage isn't about minimizing my fear, right? It's that I'm able to move forward and become who God designed me to be in spite of that fear. Courage doesn't forget or minimize fear. Courage acts in the face of fear. And I love, really, I'm so drawn to this idea that love produces courage, right? That being known by God produces a freedom for me to be, and for you, to be who God designed you to be. For a long time, I worried that I wouldn't have the courage to do courageous things like that. I worried what people would think about me. And, you know, the passage of time happened. I got married. My wife and I began having children, and we had Aiden, right, in 2004. It was a long time ago. And around that same time, Ellie and I had read a book. It was called The Barbarian Way, right? It's by Irwin McManus, and it talks about the heart of Christianity, right? Like that we wouldn't be civilized, but instead that we would be like a crash of rhinos, right? And have courage to live freely and fully. And in that book, he tells a story about buying a new property. And the whole family is at the property, kind of exploring it, and they're outside, and the husband and wife are walking around, and they turn around and look and see that the son has ended up on the roof. And the parents have, right, two differing responses to this. The mother is like, you get down, you get inside, you be safe. And the dad, right, says, oh, well, at some point in our owning of this house, do you think that you're going to jump off the roof? And the boy says, yeah, I fully intend on jumping off this roof. And so he says, well, I would rather you jump off the roof while I'm here. That way I can catch you maybe, or, you know, if the worst happens, I can take you to the ER. And so he does. And Ellie and I were captivated by that story. We wanted to raise our sons, or at the time, just Aiden, as a little barbarian. Climb whatever you want to. Jump off whatever you want to. We want you to live life to the fullest. But we want to be there in case anything happens to take you to the ER. Wouldn't you know it, we've had our fair share of ER trips. Broken bones, broken legs, bloody gashes, and even a skull fracture. But I'm so proud of him. There's a courage to how he lives. And I'm excited about that. And when he was 13, we have kind of family tradition where when you're 13, you get to go on a trip with your dad, and you get to go on an adventure. I'm really looking forward to this year. Jack turns 13. But when Aiden turns 13, he knew exactly what he wanted to do. He wanted to go bungee jumping in Queenstown, where they first did it, right? And so we went, and it was confronting to me. He was so excited.
Yeah!
Oh my god, is it jerks on your head? He's so happy.
I remember that day, early in the morning, getting up and watching the people do it before our allotted time. And I knew that I was going to have to face my fear. And I resolved to face my fear and move forward. And I had this amazing experience with my son, right? You know, love does that. When I'm compelled by love to live freely and fully, then I have so much courage. But when I'm not living out of that perfect love, when I'm not living out of being known by that perfect love, my life tends to get smaller. And fear has a way of paralyzing me. And I hope that today as we think about the things that we value and we think about the things that maybe we fear, that we would go into this time of worship and understand that we are known, that God does know us, and this perfect love can cast out all fear. In the song, it talks, right, about in your presence I belong. I don't have any fear there because you know me and because I know you. So let's go into this song and let's reflect on those things that we value and see where maybe we can begin to exercise that muscle of trust even today.
Thank you. in your mercy you came and made us your own. Now I can stand in your presence, and here I am known. In your mercy you came and made us your own. Now I can stand in your presence. All I'll ever want, you're all I'll ever need.
Thank you.
Perfect love drives out fear. There's a couple of things that I want to leave you with today as we go into this week, right? Really wanting to build on this idea of trusting God, right? The understanding that fear is a trap. Fear is this feedback that wants us to be restrained or paralyzed, but there's something more to be found. There's something more to become as we sit with Jesus in this trusting space. And they're kind of two things on the same theme, right? And you got to be intentional. And the first one is to really step into being generous instead of being selfish. This is a new season for us. It's a new season for all of us, really. And what does it look like for us to be generous in that? Right? We talk, I think, in the church a lot about our time, our talent, our treasure, right? But where do you spend the most time? Where is your community at here, even in this Good Life family? But where do we have the opportunity to be generous? It might be on a Sunday. It might be during the week through the center. It might be in your own home or across the street. Right? What does it look like for us to be generous towards our neighbors? Right? There's all these areas in which we can intentionally be generous. And right, the second thing that I want to talk about, kind of on top of that, is a bit of that intentionality of what does it look like for us to increase our circles instead of make our circles smaller. When we're fearful, when we're anxious or we're beset by worries, our tendency is to make our circles smaller. And so in that generosity, what does it look like for us to make our circles bigger, to include people around us? Even today, as we are partaking of this online gathering in person or at home, what does it look like for us to trust God with being generous and opening our circles to others? I hope that you'll think about these things and reflect on them this week, because we were made to live fully and freely, that the love of God does indeed drive out fear so that we can be fully who He designed us to be. So I hope that you'll remember Proverbs 29:25. The fear of human opinion disables, but trusting in God, it protects us from that. Have a great week.